Amen. Church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Man, God is blessing today, and today we're going to continue in our student takeover. We're going to have our good friend, our wonderful friend, where's he at? Henry. Where you at, Henry? Come on up. Henry's going to be doing some scripture reading today. Henry's going to be doing some scripture reading today. Once Henry is done reading, he's going to say, "This is the word of the Lord," in which we respond, "Thanks be to God." So, Henry, you got it, brother. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Henry. All right, church, let's pray over God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, bless us today. Help us today. Lead us in your truth. Help us to not just know what is true, but to walk in what is true as well. Bless our hearts, bless our minds, bless our faith. No matter if we have been following you for however long or if we're just new to faith, Lord, would you meet us where we are? Would you be who we need you to be within our lives today? Let people hear not a man's wisdom, not a man's energy, not even my own words. Let them hear the words of the Lord himself, and let them hear you clearly as well. Use me as your instrument to communicate your wonderful truth. In your son's perfect and wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, y'all, I am excited. I have been in this season with my oldest, my 6.5-year-old, with my oldest where we play video games together a lot. We have a Nintendo Switch, and he's playing all the old school games, the games I grew up playing, right? Super Mario Bros., Mario Kart, Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong, I mean, all of that. And my son, he loves playing video games. He gets so excited, and he always wants me to play with him, right? And we play, and when we play, he always wants to play for like a long, extended time. He's like, "Dad, will you just sit here for hours and play with me?" I'm like, "Son, like, I got things to do," and blah, 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 blah. But he's so excited to play. But little do I realize, every time we play, and when we advance in the game, right, I've noticed a few things. I've noticed his enthusiasm fades. And the reason why is because the more you advance in the game, the harder the game becomes. See, in the beginning, right, we're beating the stages, we're winning, and he's jumping for joy, and he's doing backflips, right, and he's excited. But as we get to level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5, you don't hear homeboy anymore. He's quiet, right? And he grows frustrated because things become more difficult. Things have become more difficult, right? I'm like, "Son, you all right?" "Yeah, just stupid game." I'm like, "What's wrong? I thought you loved the game, you know? What happened, right?" Right? And come to find out, your enthusiasm fades as things become more difficult. And I think the same thing, when I think about that idea, when I think about that moment, I think the same thing can be said when it comes to our relationship with God. See, for me, I love God. I want to serve God with my best. I want to honor him. I want to walk with him, right? But as soon as the difficulty meter increases, my faith begins to decrease. My faith begins to dissolve. My faith begins to fade away. And it's very easy for a lot of us to allow the seasons of our lives to determine the level of our faith. You ever notice that? It's very easy for me and you, for you and I, to allow the seasons of life. See, it's easy to follow God when things are pretty great, when money is flowing, your credit score is in the green, Right? It's easy to follow God when things are great. But when things get, when the levels get harder, right, faith becomes a little bit shaky. Right? And I believe this. I fundamentally believe the difference between someone who drifts versus someone who remains with the Lord or who is faithful to God begins with all with what you focus on. It begins all with what you give attention to. Come to find out, our focus and our attention shapes much of our lives. It shapes much of who we become, shapes much of what we do. It shapes much of how we, you know, obviously how we think, right? What we give attention to shapes much of our lives. And so today, I want to talk about this idea, just for a few minutes before we head out. I just want to talk about this idea that one of the things that we have to be reminded of, that it's very easy to allow difficulty to leave us to walk away from God. It's very easy. It's very easy when difficulty shows up, our faith kind of lacks. But today I want to talk about what it looks like to remain faithful with this idea through the series of the choices that we make. It begins with a choice. It begins with a choice, right? Remaining faithful to God begins with a series of choices that we make in our lives. And I thought no better passage to come out of how to remain faithful to God, how to stay with the Lord, how to walk with the Lord, than coming out of this wonderful passage out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're new to church and you're brand new to kind of what's going on and what we're reading, within the New Testament scriptures, there's this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul, right? And the Apostle Paul was a great leader in the early church, who did great things for the kingdom of God, who walked with the Lord, and who was sent out to do wonderful things. And what's amazing about Paul's life, right? What's amazing about how Paul is so popular? It wasn't so much what Paul taught; it's more about how Paul lived when life was falling apart. See, us as Christians, we believe in what we call like the teachings and the doctrines that are given. And the Apostle Paul, out of 13 of his letters, he gives us much ways of how we need to think about God. And those things are awesome. And I nerd out over stuff like that, right? But what made Paul so influential wasn't just the words that he said. It was the way he lived when things became difficult. When things became difficult. And what better place than to find that difficulty than in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to this guy by the name of Timothy. And Timothy and Paul were partners in the work for God and work for the Lord, right? But what's amazing about this particular letter is that Paul, it's not so much what he said, but what he's facing. Because the contents is great, but the context draws us in even more. What do I mean by that? Paul is writing this letter from prison. Now, for those who may not know, maybe unfamiliar with the scriptures, well, why is he writing from prison? Did he have unpaid parking tickets? Like, what's going on? Like, no. Now, none of that. Christianity was heavily persecuted in the first century church, and he's in prison for persecution, but he's not just in prison. Watch this. This man is facing execution. As a matter of fact, the way we can date this letter, this was written around literally probably a year before Paul was executed. What's interesting is Paul, he is facing death unlawfully. Unjustly. He's facing death. He has all these things coming against him, right? Right? And he's writing this letter to reach out to Timothy. I find that interesting. Even in the midst of Paul's predicament, he's still reaching out to encourage someone else. I don't know about you, but when life stinks for me, the last thing I do is think about other people. Am I right? I see a lot of head shaking. Anybody like me, you kind of create this cocoon and this bubble, where like you kind of isolate yourself. You become so self-absorbed with your problems. You become so obsessed with what's going on in your life, right? The last thing I want to do is talk to people. It's when life is hitting me in the face. But Paul serves as a wonderful reminder that, Paul's focus, Paul's attention wasn't on problems, but it was on God's purpose. It wasn't on pain, it was on who God called him to be. Did you notice in verse 1 when Paul says, he comes out in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle was someone who was just sent out, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see something amazing in this? Paul doesn't open up the letter saying, Paul, I'm a prisoner. Life stinks right now. What I'm trying to say is Paul didn't open up the letter as a victim. Paul didn't open up the letter and say, pity me. Woe is me. No, he says, God has a call on my life. God's got a special call on my life. And it reminds me of something I need to do more than often. See, what Paul did really good, he didn't focus on his circumstance. He focused on God's purpose for his life. And Paul did something that I think a lot of us need to realize. If we're going to remain faithful to God, if we're gonna have a life where we consistently walk with the Lord, it's this idea where faithfulness chooses purpose over circumstances. Because it's easy for you and I to allow circumstances to determine our faith. But here's the truth. Christianity says this. It's not circumstances that determine our faith. It's who God is that determines our faith. Who God promises to be that determines our faith. Paul does something so wonderful that I think all of us can learn from more and more. Paul isn't saying, listen to this, this is so important. Paul isn't saying ignore hardship. See, I think a lot of people think Christianity, they think it's just like kind of like, well, I believe so I don't face my problems. No, Paul isn't saying ignore hardship. No, what Paul is actually saying, he's refusing to allow hardship to be the center of his story. Because here's the one thing that I've noticed. If all you see is problem, then you're going to live overwhelmed. Am I right? If all you see is how jacked up your family is or how jacked up you are, you're going to always live hopeless, right? Right? Paul says, I refuse, even though I'm about to face death. See, for us, as we read this 2,000 years apart from the time that he wrote this, it really doesn't hit so well. But can you just imagine being in prison, about to die, but yet you're so focused on what God gave you and who God called you to be than what's happening to you? Can you imagine that? And Paul says, I refuse to allow what's happening to be the center of my story. But that's what Paul says. And so we can learn this wonderful truth from Paul. Faithfulness chooses purpose over circumstance. So now Paul continues on. Now Paul, he continues on in his letter, and he says, beginning in verse 3, he says this, as he opens up, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my forefathers, or my ancestors, some translations say, as I constantly remember you night and day in my prayers. Verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. This is powerful right here. Now, the reason why this is powerful is that there's one thing that is obvious that you can see that's in this text. And the one thing that is in this text is that Timothy and Paul, they didn't just do ministry together. They did life together, right? If you actually take the time and you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, two separate letters, right? So 1st and 2nd Timothy, one thing is very evident, that Paul and Timothy have a deep personal relationship, a friendship that is intimate, right? The mentor and the mentee. There is this connection. And why is this so important? Because one of the reasons why I believe sometimes I drift from God, yes, I can tell you sometimes I drift from the Lord as well, because we all do, right? We all drift from God sometimes in our lives. And one of the ways sometimes that happens is because we lose connection with other people. It's because we lose connection with other people. If we want to remain faithful to God, we need to be present around the people of God, right? Because no one does the Christian journey on their own. No one can say, well, I really don't need church and I'm just kind of a spiritual person. No, right? God created you. The God who we serve was created you for relationships, for connection, right? And you and I, what will succeed much in life and to remain faithful to God when you and I learn the value of this. Faithfulness chooses connection over isolation. Faithfulness, it chooses connection over isolation over and over. Because here's the one thing I know God is really good at doing. God is really good at demonstrating his presence through the presence of other people. You ever had someone say something to you that you needed to hear? You ever had that before? You ever had someone say something to you that it was like it was that moment, like, oh, I needed to hear that. I had been struggling in my life and things were getting going on and I needed that. See, I believe, and you can call me a spiritual super Christian if you want. I believe that was the Spirit of God using someone else's lips to remind you that he's near. To remind you that he hears your prayers. To remind you that he hears your cries. To remind you that he hears when you weep. To remind you that he hears when you're needy, right? I believe God is really good by using other people to remind you he is still close. And that's why, church, we got to stay connected. Because one thing, when I talk to people and I ask them about what's going on in their faith, young people, one thing when I ask young people, hey, how's your faith? They say, oh, it's not going as well as I would like it to go. Well, what happened? Oh, you know, this happened. You know, well, what church are you going to? I stopped going to church. Well, okay. I think that plays a part in why faith sometimes falls apart. Right? I think that plays a part when faith sometimes. Listen, God designed the church. Christ designed the church not just to come, but to get connected. That's God's call for the church. Church is not meant to be a place where you just hear a skinny jeans pastor every week. It's meant for you to say, man, I have other brothers and sisters that can speak life into me, that can challenge me. One thing about me is I love putting myself around people that tell me what I want to hear. But you know what? You know, one thing I love about church, there are people in this church, don't laugh, Pastor, I'm talking about you, that will put me in my place, right? Pastor Don will call me sometimes and be like, hey, so about what you said in that sermon, you shouldn't have said that, you know? And I need that. I need that. I need that connection, right? Faithfulness chooses connection over isolation over and over. So Paul is charging this young man, Timothy, to remain faithful to God. Remain faithful to God. How do you remain faithful to God? Timothy, you can't make your problems the center of your life. You got to make God's purpose and God's will the center of your life. He says, Timothy, if you're gonna remain faithful, if you're gonna keep walking with God, you got to make sure you stay connected with other people. You got to make sure you have people in your life who not just entertain you, but who can build you up, who can speak life into you, who can give you a challenge or two when you need it the most. But then he talks about point number three, and we find that in verse 5. Look what he says in verse 5. He says to Timothy, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. So now Paul is going to make it personal. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And listen to what he says. And I am convinced that is in you as well. Here's Paul's big picture within this text, because I got to move on. Here's Paul's big point within here. Paul says this, a faithfulness chooses to pass faith to others. When other people see you, do they see faith or fear? When other people see you, do they see cynicism or hope? Right? Because little do you realize, friends, we are all passing something down to someone. All of us, moms, dads, husbands, wives, whoever you may be, we all have a sphere of influence. And little do you realize, you are passing something on. Not too long ago, and my son got in an altercation at school. He got in a fight, you know. And, we get a call, and he comes home, and I say, son, what happened? Why did you do that? Why? What happened? He said, well, Dad, you told me. If somebody's messing with you, you mess with them back, and you punch them back. And I said, well, hold on. True, but, go get a teacher and then punch them. That's what you got to do, okay? Keep going, Logan, keep going. Hey, that's my first one of the day, right? But it's very interesting. It's very unique. Our kid, see, I believe little do we realize that people just don't hear our words. They see the way we live. Right? And the next generation, moms and dads, husbands and wives, the next generation, they're watching you. They're watching how you respond to uncertainty. They're watching how you respond to difficulty. They're watching how you respond to disappointment. They're watching how you respond to conflict. They're watching when your world is falling apart. Are you the person that says, man, this is hard, this is difficult, I don't like this, wish it was different, we need more money, we need more this, we need more of that, but at the end of the day, I still choose Christ. I still choose Christ Jesus. I still walk faithfully with him. I may struggle, but I just struggle with God. I still struggle, but I still struggle with the Lord. Little do we realize, friends, we are passing something down onto others. The question is, what are you ultimately passing down? What are you passing down? Are you passing down faith? Are you passing down hope? Are you passing down truth? See, Paul says to Timothy, listen, friend, what the faith you have, it started in someone else. Before Timothy believed, someone believed for him. Before Timothy ever led, because Timothy probably was a pastor over the church in Ephesus. This is where we get the book of Ephesians from. He probably was a pastor over the church of Ephesus. Before Timothy ever taught, someone taught him. Before Timothy ever led, someone led him, right? Right? But and faith transfers. He is a byproduct of intentional investment from others. Intentional investment for others, right? And the one thing I'm learning more and more, our kids are watching. The other day, my sons, I made the mistake. You ready? I had them on the table, and I gave them a cup of juice, but it was an open container. You know where I'm going with this. So I set it down, I'm doing my own thing, and they're doing it. And then next you know, my youngest knocked over his juice, and I got all over my oldest, and my oldest gets up and he starts screaming, "What are you doing? Why would you do that? You idiot!" I mean, all of this, and I'm sitting there like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, bro." And then I stopped and thought to myself, "Oh, he learned that from his mom." But he learned that. He learned. I'm standing on business, honey. Mom, I'm sleeping over tonight. Right? All right? They watch. Your kids watch. Right? They watch. People see. Right? People see. Listen, and this means so much to me. I'm so passionate about this. I just got done preaching to 300 students last week, and I told them about what's going on with me and my eyes. and I'm facing this disease. And some of them were like, how do you still trust God? See, you know, they never asked me, how do you write a sermon? They don't ask me, hey, how do you study the Bible? No, they ask me, how do you still choose Jesus when life is so frustrating? Because I believe the greatest way you influence someone is through the way you live. It's the way you live. And Paul is a great example of this. Paul is facing death. He's about to die. But he wants to remind Timothy, bro, but God's not done with me. And he's not done with you too. The God who saved me is also the God who will sustain me. And the God who leads me and the God who has called me to his great purpose. Right? And then Paul says this very last thing in verse 6. Beautiful. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us, I love this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. This is Paul's ultimate landing point here. Paul tells Timothy, listen, he doesn't tell Timothy to try harder. He tells Timothy, God's not done with you, bro. See, Timothy might have been facing discouragement because of the pressure he had been under being the leader and the pastor over a massive church in Ephesus. Timothy may have been facing discouragement because he was so young and maybe felt inexperienced and maybe felt unqualified to be in the position that he was in. Maybe he faced discouragement because his mentor, Paul, was about to die. And Paul says, above all else, Timothy, God has been at work in you. It is evident. It is clear. Don't shrink back. Don't quit. Because sometimes discouragement will do that to us, right? Discouragement that shows up in our lives usually results in leading us wanting to just give up and just quit. There's no reason because of the struggles you have personally, financially, mentally. And Paul says, here's how you come out of it. Here's how you come out of discouragement. Reminding yourself, God's not done with me. God's not done with me. He tells Timothy to fan into flame. The first time I did a bonfire, y'all want to hear the story? And it went well. It just, the fire wouldn't stay lit. The fire wouldn't stay lit, right? I kept giving it toilet paper. And don't judge me. I'm a preacher, okay? Kept giving the newspaper, you know, but it couldn't stay lit. It kept going out. And that's usually what happens to a fire. When you don't feed it the right things, it doesn't stay lit. And so Paul tells Timothy, listen, friend, you gotta keep your faith on fire. And you gotta feed your soul the right things. Because right now, Timothy, you're feeding your soul fear. And you're living on fear. And fear is keeping the flame from staying lit. Fear is keeping the flame from staying hot. Fear is keeping you from doing all that God has called you to do. God has not given us a spirit of fear. No, God has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-control. That fear you have doesn't come from God. It comes from the discouragement that you're facing. And here's the point number 4. Faithfulness chooses God's calling over fear over and over and over. Paul was faithful to the end. He died. Timothy was faithful. His grandmother was faithful. His mother was faithful. But above all, there is one whose faithfulness supersedes theirs, and that's Jesus Christ. That when he faced suffering, he was faithful. That when he was mocked and spit on, he was faithful. And when he carried the cross bloodied for over 100 yards, a heavy cross for over 100 yards, he was faithful. So when you need an example of faithfulness, you look to your Savior, who was faithful for you, but who also will be faithful to you. Because the one who saves you is also the one who secures you. So if you need a dose of endurance, look to the one who endured the cross, despised the shame, and now who is seated at the right hand of God. Victorious, wonderful, beautiful Jesus. That's our Savior, and he's our example. Let's pray. Dear Father, I love you and I thank you for today. I thank you for the reminder that you are our source. Our source for when we feel discouraged, our source for when we feel frustrated, our source for when faith feels like it's fading. You are the source. You're the source of our strength. You're the source of wisdom. You're the source of truth. You're the source of our peace. And so, Lord, let us forever be centered and founded on you. And would you bless us to be the church that always submits to you over fear, who always submits to you over discouragement, who always submits to your purpose over pain. So help us and guide us and strengthen us. And Lord, I pray for the children and the teens and the young adults that we acknowledge today. I pray that as a congregation, we can be Paul to them and they can be Paul for someone else. And they can be a living example of what it looks like to trust God even when life is falling apart. Bless us, I pray. Help us, I pray. It's in your Son's perfect name. Amen.